This is ProBlogger.
Hi there, my name's Darren Rouse. Welcome to episode 217 of the ProBlogger podcast. I'm the blogger behind ProBlogger.com, a blog, podcast that you're listening to, event, job board, and a series of ebooks all designed to help you as a blogger to start a blog, to create great content, to grow your audience, and to build some income from that blog. You can learn more about what we do at ProBlogger over at ProBlogger.com. Now, today's episode is one for those of you who are just starting out. It's perfect for those of you who are considering starting a blog in that preparing, planning stage, or for those of you who want to start a second blog or even a second business of some kind, because we're going to talk about things to consider when you are naming your blog or finding a domain name for your blog, to be more specific. And I say both of those things because they really are tied together. Ideally, you want a domain name that is the same as the name of your blog, or at least tied to it. And so in today's episode, I want to share with you four things to consider to find something that is going to suit your needs in terms of a domain, something that's going to help you to achieve your goals in blogging, whatever those goals are, something that's going to impact the people who come to your blog and be memorable, but also something that is going to help to build your brand, to communicate something of meaning to those people, and also something that's going to communicate something to Google and the bots, the machines, the little robots that come to your site as well, and that help to determine how your site will be ranked because your domain name has an impact on your SEO. And lastly, something that is going to help you to stay within the law, because there are some legal things that you need to know about choosing a domain as well. So if that is of interest to you, listen on. I've got today's show notes with some further reading for you. This is actually based upon an article that we published on ProBlogger a year or so ago. I've updated it slightly, but you can find the original article on today's show notes at ProBlogger.com/podcast/217. Almost forgot the podcast bit there. You would think after 217 episodes, I would have got it. It's ProBlogger.com/podcast/217, where you can find that further reading and a full transcript of what I've got for you today.
Creating great content. Finding an audience. Building engagement. Monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, I want to say right up front, there's a lot of different opinions on this, and the main thing that I really want to say is whilst I'm going to talk about some ideal scenarios today, I've made every mistake in the book. Everything I'm going to teach you today, I've done the opposite of at one point or another, and I've still had success with my blogs. And so I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. Choosing the right domain is going to help you with your blogging. It's going to help you with your search engine optimization and your branding and all of that type of stuff. But you can make mistakes in this and fix them, or you can make mistakes and still have success. And I'm going to tell you about some of the mistakes I've made towards the end of today's podcast. So I want to put that right up front, particularly for those of you who are going to listen to this and go, oh, he's said the exact opposite of what I've already done. And so I just want to hammer that home. I have had the wrong domains, and I still have a blog that isn't ideal in terms of its domain, but I've still had some success with it. But choose the right domain and it is going to help you in your blogging. And I sometimes wonder what would have happened if I'd chosen the right domain on some of my blogs from the start. So right from the beginnings, let's just go back to basics for those of you who are really a bit fuzzy on what is a domain. A domain and why you would want your own. Your domain name is, for ProBlogger, it's ProBlogger.com. It's that little bit that you type into Google's Chrome browser or Safari. It's where your blog can be found. It's the address for your blog. Having your own domain name is really desirable for bloggers for many reasons. And this is something that a lot of bloggers, when they first start out, they will start on a site like Blogger or WordPress.com, and they will use the domain name that is provided for them by those services, because those services host your blog on their own servers, and they usually have some sort of a like WordPress.com/ your blog's name, and it's on their domain name. And that's okay when you're just starting out, but it's desirable to get your own domain name at some point, because it's going to help to build some credibility with your audience. When someone someone sees that you are on blogger.com/your blog name, there's a kind of a confusion that happens there because you are on Blogger's brand name. Your Blogger's brand name or WordPress's brand name is in your domain name, and as well as your own. That impacts your brand. It impacts the sense of professionalism around your blog that people get from you. And it also is more complicated to communicate. If you have to tell everyone it's blogger.com/ and then your name, that's a lot to remember for people. So it's longer, it's more complicated, and it confuses the brands. And so ideally, you want to have your own domain name. It also gives you some other added bonuses. It can help you with search engine optimization to have it on your own. It also helps in terms of having your own email address. So you can have an email address, darren@problogger.com. That's my email address if you want to ever contact me. And that, again, communicates a little bit more professionalism rather than having to rely upon a Gmail address, which again, it can confuse your brand a little. And it can come across with some people if you've got a Gmail address rather than a your domain address. It can come across as maybe a little bit like it's a bit of a hobby for you. There's some added bonuses there in terms of having your own domain. So there's some of the reasons that you would want your own domain if you're wondering why you would want it.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
Now let's move on to some of the factors to consider when choosing that domain. And I've got four main things that I want to talk about, but I guess what I want to say is there's billions of websites. I don't exactly know how many domains are out there, but there's more than a billion websites, I'm told, out there. So you want yours to stand out. And a big part of what you want to do in choosing a domain name is choose something that's going to stand out, something that's going to be easily remembered. And that's harder to do today than it was when I started out, because a lot of the good domain names, a lot of the most common words that we would think of in domains are taken, but it's still important to try and choose something that's going to be easy to remember and something that's going to accurately describe what it is that you do and that's going to help you to rank in Google. So there's four main things that I want to work through here. And some of this does come down to personal taste, but try and keep these four things in mind as you are considering it. The other thing I'd say just before I get into these is don't rush this process. Don't rush the process. The mistakes I've made have largely come as a result of me rushing through it and not involving too many other people in the discussion. And one of the things I would recommend that you do is to do this with other people. I actually find that I've made better decisions about domains and names of my blog when I bounce my ideas off other people. And so find someone who is not going to shut down all of your ideas right at the front. They're going to be good at brainstorming with you, but also someone that does have a bit of a critical eye on this. And it may be two different people, one to brainstorm with and one to be the judge or the critic with. Because bringing a bit of a critical eye is going to point out some of the mistakes that I've made, basically. Okay, so let's get into these four things. The first perspective that you want to consider is the human perspective. And whilst I'm going to talk about bots and robots and SEO and that type of thing, that's important. But I think it's much more important to consider the other person who's going to be on the other side of your content and the other side of your blog. And this is the case for me with everything that I talk about with ProBlogger. It comes down to the content, the way you build community, the way you build readers. You always need to be considering the other person, the person on the other side of your content. It's not just about making money. It's not just about getting lots of traffic. It's about serving people because in my experience, if you serve people and if you're considering the person on the other side of your content, all the other stuff tends to flow easier, more easily. So the human perspective is the first thing we want to consider. And particularly what we want to focus upon is making it easy for the other person, the person who's going to come and read your blog. You want to make it as easy as possible. You don't want barriers in the way of them coming to your blog. So when you're thinking about your domain, you want something that is simple to read, something is simple to say, something is simple to remember. If it's hard for them to remember what it is because it's complicated, it's got lots of words or it's kind of cryptic in some way, that's going to be a barrier for them to coming back. They may come the first time because they find you being shared on Twitter, but they're never going to come back again because they're not going to be able to remember that name. So it's going to be easy to remember. It's got to be easy to say because you want people to be able to spread it by word of mouth, and you want to be able to say it simply as well. And it's got to be something that's simple to read. So the words in your domain, if you've got more than one word, they need to be pretty obvious what those words are. You don't want them to run into each other and to be, have different interpretations of what those letters could mean. And often I've seen domain names and I've thought, is it that say this or does it say that? Because there's multiple ways of reading that in the context. So make it easy. One of the core values of marketing is to be memorable and to be simple. So simple is good. Short is good if you can. It's getting harder to have short domains. I know all the four-letter domain names are gone now. You can probably buy them at a premium cost now, but they've all been taken as far as I know. So it's hard to find a four-letter one. There are probably some five and six-letter ones around, but it's going to be hard to find one that has actual words in it. That'll be random jumble of letters. So short is good. It's not always easy to find something that's super short. If you are going to create something with a number of words, maybe two or three words at the most, so Digital Photography School, I think it's a long domain, and I've got hyphens in there as well, which is a mistake that I'll talk about later, but Digital Photography School is relatively easy to remember. It's a bit of a jumble to type in though, it's quite long. So, and one of the things I do wish with Digital Photography School, it's a bit of a jumble for me to even say it now, is that maybe it was a bit shorter, but I think it's good on the memorability front. So you're never going to find something that's got all of the things that I'm talking about. So you're always going to be compromising on some level, but short is good. No phonetic bits to confuse people's ears. No unusual spelling, ideally. And if you can do that, I think you're well on the way to creating a good domain. So short. A note about hyphens. I have already talked about hyphens may make your preferred domain easier to register because less people will be putting hyphens in, but it is tricky for people to remember and it's tricky for people to communicate and for you to communicate. And I know for a fact, every time I say, I've got a blog about blogging, it's called Digital Photography School, I usually just say Google it because we do rank in Google for Digital Photography School. But if someone wants the domain, it's digital-photography-school.com. It's quite long and it's more complicated for me to say. And I do hear people all the time saying, oh, it's digitalphotographyschool.com. And I've seen people link to it in that way. I don't own that domain. I couldn't get it. People want to charge me a fortune for it. So it's hard to communicate. So I particularly would say avoid hyphens if you can. It's going to make it hard to communicate and hard to remember. Numbers are another one. I know a lot of people add a number to their ideal word, and that it could be one way to get your word in there, but it does bring confusion again. So if I had problogger9.com, for instance, well, is 9 the number 9, the numeral, or is it spelt out 9? And that can cause confusion as well when you've got numbers in there. So ideally what you would probably want to do if you do want to use a number is to register both. So I would probably, if I had to do that, and I would never do it, problogger9, number9.com, and I would also register problogger9.com and forward both to the one that I'm using. That would be the way to get around that. But again, numbers can bring a little bit of confusion to that. Although, if you can get both, maybe it would work. So making it easy for your reader is really important. Making it readable is so important as well. Have a look at how your words run together. Are there any surprises in there that perhaps you haven't thought of? You know, sometimes people choose a domain and then they look at it or someone else looks at it and says, oh, there's another word in there that you probably don't want in there. So for example, if you had any pro bloggers excited, pro bloggers excited, that might be a good domain name because you want to talk to excited pro bloggers. But if you think about it, there's an S and then the first two letters of excited are EX. And so you've got an SEX in there. And that may not be ideal for your brand. People will look at that and they'll only see one thing. And that's a bit of a recipe for disaster in terms of your brand. So be thinking about how those words might join together. Are there any other little hidden surprises in there? Another thing I would say is you might want to steer clear of slang or any sort of jargon or corporate speak. Different countries also have different vernacular. And so you want to maybe run your domain name by someone from a different culture, if you're using a sort of a slang word, something that you know what it understands, but does everyone else understand what that means? Because you might end up with a domain that people are really confused by because you're using a word that means something different in a different part of the world. The example that Aussies always use, we call flip-flops that you put on your feet, and my American friends call them flip-flops, we call them thongs. So that can cause a lot of confusion in America when you are talking about wearing thongs to the beach. And I wear thongs every summer to the beach. That confuses people. And I know that just brought a whole lot of imagery in some of your minds that you don't want there. So you want to be thinking about, does this word mean the same thing in different parts of the world, particularly if you want to have a global kind of brand. And the last thing with readability is make it pronounceable. You want people to be able to say it clearly. I had a domain, Twitip, T-W-I-T-I-P, and it was going to be Twitter tips, and people just couldn't pronounce that at all. And I had all kinds of weird kind of pronunciations, Tweetip and all kinds of things. And it didn't really communicate what it was about, even though it was kind of clever and it kind of had a bit of Twitter and a bit of tip in it. People just couldn't pronounce it right. Even ProBlogger, people sometimes struggle with that, and because it's an unfamiliar word, it's not a real word, I made that one up, although that was good from a branding perspective, and that's what I want to talk about next. So first perspective to consider is the humans on the other side of your domain. The second perspective is the brand. The first impression of your domain really counts, and your domain name is an incredible opportunity. You have an incredible opportunity to communicate something about what it is that you are doing. People want to know what is going on your website in the shortest amount of time possible, and your domain name is one of those signals to them as to what you do. If you have a domain name that communicates, this is what this blog is about, that's going to help to speed up that first impression. So a digital photography school, I think, immediately communicates to people that this place teaches photography. And it sometimes does communicate some other things as well. It communicates some things that we don't do, and that's one of the weaknesses of it. We get emails from people saying, where is your school? What kind of classrooms do you use? They imagine a real school. And that's, I guess, another example of something that's communicated by a domain that isn't true. So we have to work against that in our about page. ProBlogger, I think even though it's a made-up word, most people understand what that is. It's going to be something that's going to teach people to blog professionally or to be professional in their blogging. So your domain name is a real opportunity. So think about your domain name and how you can communicate what it is that you do. And again, this is another thing to test with someone. Tell a friend who doesn't know what you're considering doing what that domain name is, and ask them what they think a site with that domain name would do. And it'll be really fascinating to hear whether they get it or not. Do they come up with something that aligns with what it is that you want to do on that domain? Or do they come up with something completely different? Because that will be a signal that maybe your domain name isn't as clear as you want it to be.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
Another thing to consider from a brand perspective, but also again comes into the human element that I've already talked about, is the extension that you choose for your domain. So an extension is the categories of internet domain. So the most common one is .com. So ProBlogger.com. It represents the word commercial. That's where the .com comes from. It's the most common one that is used. And most businesses would prefer the .com domain, because it's highly recognizable as a symbol for having a business presence on the internet. It's also the most easy one to remember. And whilst I would recommend that you do choose a .com, particularly if you're going to have a global brand, if you are trying to reach people from around the world, there are other options there as well. And there are some newer ones like .biz or .info or .me or .shop, and the list could go on and on. And you might want to choose one of those if it does really relate to what you're trying to do, and if the .com's already gone, and if you're not going to get yourself into legal trouble as well. And the other option is .com.au, which is the local domain for Australia. It's the local one. And if you are trying to reach a local audience, that can be another way to go, because because, again, it will be familiar and memorable for people from that local audience. And it's also, from my experience, going to help you to rank a little better in google.com.au, the local Google, from an SEO perspective. And so you might want to consider some of those localized domains as well. This is another mistake that I made, if you want to put it that way. When I started, problogger.com was taken. Someone was squatting on problogger.com. They'd had the idea to set up, I think it was going to be a hosting company, and they never actually went with it. And whilst I approached them initially to buy it, they weren't interested in selling at that time. And because they weren't using it, I thought legally I was able to use that word. So I registered problogger.net. And whilst that worked, .net is relatively familiar to people. It was relatively easy for people to remember. I did see a lot of people linking to that other domain. And it wasn't until years later that I bought problogger.com that things got so much easier in terms of that memorability and the building of the brand as well. And I did notice that people see .coms as perhaps a little bit more credible source as well. And that impacts your brand. The other thing that you want to consider from a brand perspective and also from a legal perspective, which we'll talk about a little later, is that you want uniqueness with your brand. You don't want to have a brand name that is a copy of someone else. That will definitely get you into legal trouble if they've registered it, and you can run into some issues there. But you also don't want something too similar to someone else as well, because it's going to be confusing for your readers, and you may actually be, if you choose something that there's already an established brand and you do something very similar to that, people could accuse you of copying them as well. So do some research on that. Google to see what different blogs and other businesses are already out there on similar domains to you. Just because you can get the domain doesn't mean it's a good idea if you're choosing something that's too similar. So Google it, look on sites like blogloven.com to find out who's blogging under what names. Sometimes people will actually have a blog called something on a different domain. They may not have registered the domain, but they actually call their blog that exact same thing for some reason, which is partly their fault. They should have registered the domain, but again, it could get you into trouble there, could end up in a bit of a bun fight. Just make sure you're not doing something too similar. The other thing in terms of uniqueness is making sure your domain name is available on other social media sites as well. You want to check on Twitter and Facebook just to see who else is using that name, and to register that as well. There's a shortcut for this. I think it's a site called Knowem, which is a good domain name in some ways. It's knowem.com, but it's a bit of a cryptic domain name as well. Maybe an example of one that is cool on some levels, Knowem, but it's also hard to remember. But as far as I know, that site will also help you to check whether different brands are available on social networking sites.
How to build and monetize your blog. This is Pro Blogger.
So the human perspective was number one. The brand perspective is number two. The third perspective you want to think about is SEO, search engine optimization. Just about everyone's looking to rank really well on Google, and to help you to rank well on Google, you can choose a domain name that is going to help you to do that. Now, some people don't really consider SEO at all, and they end up with a clever, funny, cryptic kind of domain name, and perhaps Knowem is a good example of that. It's a domain that is being chosen, I suspect, more for the uniqueness and for the branding kind of side of things, but it's not going to help that company to rank in Google from a keyword perspective. So this is a choice that you need to make. If you want to rank in Google, if you want your domain to help you to rank in Google, you want to be choosing a domain that does have some keywords in it that you want to rank for. The words in your domain can help with that. Now, again, you don't want to put SEO first. You don't want to put it at the expense of the human and the brand, because you could have a domain that's got all your keywords in it, but it might be really long and really hard to remember, really confusing for people. And that's probably not ideal unless you just want search traffic. So you want to get the balance right in this, but it is important to think about SEO and what impact the words in your domain can have upon that SEO. Digital Photography School was what I wanted to rank for. As I began to think about what I wanted to rank for, I wanted digital photography in there particularly. I wanted to communicate that we're a teaching site. And Google is smart enough to know that school means teaching, and so it helped us with that. I also did a little bit of keyword research and found out that people were searching for the words photography school. And so I knew there was some search traffic to be gained from having that as well. So think about the words that you want to be found for. If you can incorporate them in, that can really help as well. Another SEO kind of thing that you might want to think about is just check whether the domain that you're about to buy has previously been registered. Sometimes spammers buy up domain names or people who are doing dodgy things on the internet, and then they abandon them later once they've used them up. And that abandoned domain name may have been looked down upon by Google. They may have been banned by Google. They may have been penalized by Google, and that may be still hanging onto that domain name. So you don't want to get a domain name that has been previously used in a bad way, because Google's going to look at that and go, oh, that they're back again. And some of that may have an ongoing impact with you. You can buy domains that have been previously used, and there may even be some benefits of doing that, because that they may have been used in a good way, and there may be links coming in from other sites to that site. But if it's been used in a bad way, that can have a bit of a negative thing. So thinking about keywords, a good exercise to do is really just to get a piece of paper and to brainstorm the words that people might be typing into Google to find the kind of site that you're looking at. You want to be particularly paying attention and choosing for your domain name the broadest, biggest kind of keywords of your site. You don't want to get too niche-y with the words. If you are going to write about digital photography, you ideally want digital photography in the words. If you're talking about blogging, you want some blogging or blogger or blogs or that type of word in there. You don't want to get too niche-y. You don't want to be bringing in all the keywords that you might ever possibly use, because when you write a blog post, those words will start to appear in the extension that's added to your domain name. So if I write on ProBlogger a post about SEO, ProBlogger.com/tips-SEO will naturally come in there if I want it to. So those nichier words will be added to your domain name as you write blog posts. But you want to think about the broad words that you want to be found for. Don't get too niche there. You certainly don't want a domain name like digital photography school, portraits, fashion, travel. That's just too long. It breaks all those other rules that we've got. But Google's also going to think that you're keyword stuffing as well. So think about the broad words if you can. Is your site about recipes? You probably want the word recipe in there. Is the site about fashion? Words like style or fashion and some of those bigger words will work. You don't want to get too niche with them. The other thing I'd say is don't get too caught up about the keywords. Google isn't as fooled as much as it used to be, from what I can see. They're a factor. Google certainly looks at the words, but it's not the be-all and end-all. And it is harder and harder to get those keywords into domains these days because there's so many out there. So if you can do it, that'd be great. I think it's probably more important to have brandability and thinking about the human. And you can always get those words into your URLs by writing about those topics and in your blog posts.
You're listening to ProBlogger.
The last perspective to think about is the legal perspective. And I want to state up front, I'm not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. put that right out there. But you do want to think about copyright and trademark, and particularly be looking at what other people are using already and copying it, as I've already talked about. It's going to cost you a lot of time and money and heartache if you're sued for infringement later because you've started trading as a company with the same name at, too similar a name to someone else. Copyright is really important to think about. So check and recheck other blogs, other sites, other company names before you register your domain. Don't just rush out and buy a domain and start blogging under that name. You want to really be thinking about it. You can also check trademark business names in your local area. If you're in the US, you can check out who owns what in terms of copyright at copyright.gov or USPTO.gov. Patent Trademark Office might even be worth looking at if you're in Australia. And I've got some links for you in the show notes today as well. But just simply doing some Googling and some looking on Blog Lovin' and Facebook and Twitter will give you a sense for, is anyone using that very similar names to you? That will really help a lot. But just include that last one in thinking about the domain names, because I'd hate for you to register something that's great for humans and branding and SEO only to find out that someone's already done that and you're going to be sued. You don't want to do that. One more thing that I'll mention are a few tools that you might want to check out to help you with the domain name registration process. One I mentioned earlier was Noam, which is a great little tool that you just pop in your name of your blog. So you put in Pro Blogger, you hit the check it button, and it will check with you with 500 social networks and other places like the USPTO trademark database to check your brand and to work out whether other people are using it already. And it will check sites like Twitter and Facebook and Reddit, WordPress. It checks Flickr, Delicious. So it's going to check a lot of different social networks, including the main ones like Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter, Medium as well. So that's one tool. The link to that is in today's show notes. Another one that I have used, and I've used this for years now, is Nameboy. And it is a domain name generator. You put in the primary word or that you want to rank for. So you might put in blogging if you're doing a blog about blogging, and then a secondary word, so pro or professional. And it basically spits out lots of different options, and you can have in a couple of different things. You can do allow hyphens, which we've talked about perhaps not being the best thing to do, or you can allow rhyming words as well, and it will then spit out some words, and it will tell you, most importantly, and this is really important if you are doing a lot of potential things, it will tell you which ones are available, and I will give you some options for buying them as well. So you pop in your words and it will come out with all the different variations. So I just typed in Pro Blogger, and I can see that Pro Blogger is taken, problogger.com's taken, problogger.net's taken, problogger.org's taken, problogger.info's taken. So all the Pro Bloggers are taken, but it comes out with other words. So proathome.info is available, or blog with two G's and then E, pro, is available, which you probably wouldn't want because it's not that memorable, but it gives you some different options and it looks at different words that you might want to do. So pro or something is available if you wanted that. So have a play with that. It is hard to find them these days, but it will give you some options there. It also gives you the ones that are up for auction as well. So it will give you an idea of what sort of price you might need to pay for some of those. So that was Nameboy and Noam. And the other one I would just say, in terms of where to register, there's plenty of places you can register domains today. I've always done it through GoDaddy. I know some people love GoDaddy, some people don't. It's just where I do it, and I keep all of mine. I've got a lot of domains that I've bought over the years that I haven't actually used. Probably didn't need to do a bit of a cleanse there. I like to just have them all in the one place. I don't want to be buying domains in lots of different places. There are other options out there, but you can find those links in today's show notes.
This is Pro Blogger.
The last thing I'll say is what I've said is not hard and fast. Apart from that legal one, I think that's hard and fast. You know, I've made some bad decisions in this. I have digital hyphen photography hyphens. I can't even say it because I've got hyphens in it. I've made the mistake, but that site gets, you know, 4 million people a month to it. It's done okay because the content is good and because I've worked hard at building community and I've worked hard at building the brand. And whilst it's not a perfect domain, I've worked harder on other things. And it's the other things that are really going to be the key to your success. It's not your domain name. It's not going to be the single key. It's one of the things that's going to help you. So you may have made a mistake already. That's okay, as long as it's not a legal mistake. But do pay attention to it if you can. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, all the things I've talked about, you're never going to get something that's perfect on all fronts. So you do need to make some compromises there. Occasionally, you might find something that's great for humans, branding, SEO, and legal. But most cases, you're probably going to find something that's better for branding and not so great for SEO. Or maybe it's great for SEO, but it's not so good for the human. And so you've got to make some compromises around that. Personally, if I was making choices today, I'd be thinking about the human and branding more so than SEO. I think SEO is great to think about if you can, but it can be worked on in terms of the blog posts that you do and choosing keywords in your blog titles, that type of thing. There's more to your blog success or failure than the domain names, but make a wise choice as you do. Hopefully some of what I've talked about today is going to help you in that regard. Now, today's show notes are over at problogger.com. Great domain, isn't it? /podcast/217. And you can find the links there for some of those legal things, that those legal checks that you might want to do. You'll also find the original article that Stacey Roberts wrote that I've based today's podcast on. Also, the thing I would say is if you are starting a blog, or you're thinking about starting a blog, we've got a resource coming out for you in the coming month. It'll probably come out late December, early January, actually. And it's going to walk you through how to start a blog. And it's going to be more than anything we've ever done before. It's actually going to walk you through in great detail. And so what I've talked about today is actually going to be a part of that little course that we're putting together. And so if you are thinking of starting a blog early next year for 2018, head to our show notes today and subscribe to our newsletter, and we will notify you when that resource is ready late this year, early next year. And I really look forward to launching that because it's going to be a resource that's going to help a lot of people. So if you're thinking of starting a blog, head over to theproblogger.com /podcast/217 and subscribe. There'll be an option there for you to subscribe to the newsletter, and we will let you know as soon as that course is ready to go. It's free. Free course, completely free. So look forward to launching that. That's a bit of a teaser of what's coming on ProBlogger. Hopefully this helps you. I would love to hear any other things that you would add to the advice. If you've already started a blog, you can head to the show notes and add a comment, give your own advice there, or you can do it over in the ProBlogger community Facebook group. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week in episode 218 of the ProBlogger podcast. Have a great week.
You've been listening to ProBlogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
This episode of the ProBlogger podcast was edited by the team at Podcast Motor, who offer a great range of services, including helping you to set up and launch your podcast, as well as ongoing editing and production of the podcast that you produce. You can check them out at podcastmotor.com.